It's always a blessing to be here. Thank you for the singing. What a blessing that is. I'll try to be very brief. Have some thoughts. The Lord gave me some things He just showed me the other day I'd never seen before when I was reading through my Bible. And I just want to share them with you, talk to you about them, preach to you a little bit. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of... So who's going to translate for me from the Northern English to the... No? Okay. So 50, if you get 50%, you're doing good. Mark chapter 1 in verse 16. We'll start there and then we'll go over to Luke real quick. Let me go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we love You this morning. Thank You, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank You for the blood of Jesus Christ, Lord. And thank You for Your word that You've given to us, preserved for us, that we may have something from You that allows us to communicate with You, to have a relationship with You, to hear from You as we open this wonderful book. Lord, You speak to our hearts and You guide our lives and You encourage us and You help us just through one more day. Thank You for that. Thank You for church, Father, for this church that is open. The doors are open for people to come in. As Brother Armato said this morning, that's not always the case. To encourage the town here and the people around it, Lord. We thank You, Lord. Thank You for Brother Holt. Pray, Lord, You be with him as he preaches in his church in Bright, Indiana. God, fill him with Your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to try to talk real fast so I can get going real fast. So here in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, "Now he," that's Jesus, "walked by the Sea of Galilee. He saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. And when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants and went after him." I'm going to stop right there and ask you this question. Does anything in these verses seem strangely strange to you? If you read your Bible like I do, like most of us do, sometimes you just go right through verses without stopping to think of what actually is being said and what happens. And I caution you not to do that because all of God's Word contains something for us. And I've done that for many years reading through my Bible. And this time I was reading through and I stopped there and I said, man, those verses are weird. Here's these two guys fishing, doing their business. It was a family business, apparently. The brothers were fishing together. No doubt, back in those times, Dad had the business, and they were fishing. And they're just fishing, making a livelihood for their families. We know that Peter had a wife, because we know he had a mother-in-law, which we'll get to. And they're fishing, and here comes this guy. I'll say this guy comes along, and he says, "Hey, guys, how you doing? Drop everything you're doing and follow me." And they did. I mean, they just dropped everything that they had, everything. They left their business. They left their livelihood. They left everything behind to follow this guy that shows up to tell them, follow me. How many of you are followers of Jesus this morning? I hope you are. But if you read those verses, I don't know about you, but that's strange to me. From one point of view, isn't that just something that's crazy, to drop everything that you have? It's irresponsible to leave your livelihood and just follow some guy that shows up and says, follow me. How many of you in your workplace working would have a guy show up and say, follow me, and just say, hey, boss, I'm quitting. Tell your wife, I quit my job, I'm following this guy over here. How many of you would do that? I don't see one hand in this. Why not? That's what these guys did, apparently. So if you read it that way, when I first got saved, I hadn't noticed it, but verses like this always made me scratch my head and say, man, I can't be a Christian. That's just dumb. No one does that. That's crazy. You have to be a fanatic, a crazy person to do that. On the other side of it now, as a saved man, I read that verse, and to be honest with you, I'm a follower of Jesus like you are, but I think, wow, that took a lot of faith for them just to drop. I don't have that faith. The truth of the matter is, Neither did they really when they started out. See, that verse there in Mark is just what Mark's account is. But if you turn over to Luke, and that's the beauty of the Bible, Luke chapter 5, Luke talks about that situation with more details. And as we look at those details, we'll be able to see how this following of Jesus wasn't a one-time act where they were there, a guy comes along, Jesus comes along and says, drop everything, follow me, and they took off. As we read through the account of Luke, and I hope you do that when you read your Bible, you kind of compare things, Luke tells us the details, and in those details, I think it shows for us Christians today a plan of what happens in our lives spiritually, not physically, spiritually, when we decide, when we look at following Jesus. So if we go up here in chapter 5, if we go right before chapter 5, in verse 48 of chapter 4, it starts there. And he arose out of the synagogue, that's Jesus, and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. So I'll start by saying here, before the encounter that Peter had at the nets with the boat that we read in Mark, Peter had already heard about Jesus. Jesus had already been out in Galilee preaching. So Jesus had made himself known to that whole community. And so they knew. They didn't know at this point he was the Son of God. They didn't know he was God. They just thought he was a great master, a teacher, that was walking through the lands giving them great truths. And all the people of the land had heard about Jesus. Isn't that true? Just like this whole community, whole United States probably, everyone's heard about Jesus. Now, what you believe about him may or may not be what's real, but you've heard about Jesus. You know what people are saying about Jesus. Peter knew what was said about Jesus. So he had an understanding when this man shows up of who Jesus was. Not that he was God, but that he was some great teacher. In these verses here, we'll take it one step further. Jesus came into Peter's house. His mother-in-law was sick. I can make a few cute remarks there, but I'll leave it alone. I love my mother-in-law. Jesus saved his mother-in-law. Not always the case. That didn't go over too well. That's okay. A little humor. He comes into that house, and he saves Peter's mother-in-law. So right in front of him, brother, Peter sees a miracle happen. He had heard about the miracles in the land. Jesus was already performing miracles. Peter may or may not have seen them, so he had heard. Now he sees in his own household a change go on that he can't say, hey, there's something different here. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, our faith in Christ should not be a blind faith. It should not be a blind faith. The Lord is so good to us to provide us evidence of who he is all the time. And he does it in steps. First, Peter heard about Jesus, just like you all hear about Jesus. The next thing he does is he does something in your life or in the life of someone around you to allow you to see that miracle. You know, maybe someone around you gets saved and that person was a rough person. But all of a sudden, you begin to see a change in that life. And it's not that that person got religion. It's that he got Jesus, the Holy Spirit, in his heart. And a change begins to appear. And you know that person how they were before. And you know that person how he's becoming now. And you have no doubt but to say, like Peter saw his mother-in-law get healed, something's changed. And so not only as followers of Christ do we hear about Jesus, that's where it starts. We begin to see things that are happening in the lives of people around us who profess to have met Jesus like this mother-in-law did. The next step is in verse 1 in chapter 5. And it came to pass as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of their nets and were washing their nets. So here's the beginning of the story in detail that we just read in Mark. Peter and his brother were out fishing. It'll say later, out all night. They were washing their nets. And along comes Jesus, who they've heard of, who Peter's already known of being in his house, helping, saving his mother-in-law. And as they're washing their nets, going about their activity, going about their livelihood, going about their jobs, they're not really interacting with Jesus. They're just there doing what they're doing. Their normal daily life. And Jesus comes along with a mass of people, and he starts to preach. And it says here that they listened. Let me tell you, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you start off by hearing about the man. You go on by seeing things, people around you being changed. Maybe one of those people is the one that invites you to church. You come to a church house and you hear the preaching of the Word of God. And you continue to do your normal stuff, but at least the Word of God comes in here and starts working in your heart. Don't let that stop. I'm not saying you're saved yet. You may not be saved in here this morning. But you're here. Listen to the Word of God. Let it do its work. Let it come in your head, in your ear, and down in your heart. You may not understand it. You may not know everything that's going on, but listen. Listen to that word. That's how you become a follower of Jesus. You just don't drop everything and go. It takes steps. And so here Jesus is preaching. Here they're listening to the word of God. And they saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Here's the next step. They're just doing their livelihood. They're just doing their job. There's no interaction between Jesus and Peter and his brother. For all I know, they were out fishing all night. They were probably pretty tired. They wanted to get their nets cleaned up. And they wanted to go on home, get something to eat, go to sleep. But Jesus comes up to them. And he asks them, hey, this crowd's getting really big. They're pushing me back into the water. I really can't preach from here. It's really hard. Do you mind if I get on your boat and you can push it out a little so that I can have more room in that amphitheater? Push back so you can, the crowd doesn't push into me so they can all hear me. Do you know it's at that moment that Peter had to make a decision? Yeah. And I'm just reading that into here because let me tell you, guys, we all work. When you've done work, your full day's worth of work, and it's hard, hard work. And these fishermen, well, the way they fished is that they used nets. And they couldn't just leave the nets wet because they'd rot. It was hemp rope. It'd get wet, it would rot. They had to take all their nets, stretch them out in the morning so that the morning sun would dry them. And so after fishing, after doing all they got to do, they got to continue to work. And they're ready to go home, get some sleep, get some food, relax. And here comes Jesus and says, hey, Peter, can I get in your boat? And by the way, push it out a little bit. Peter had to decide whether he was to say yes or no. It wasn't a big decision, but he had to be inconvenienced. Just like we are when we begin to follow Jesus. And the decision that has to be made is, am I going to do it or not? Am I going to get up for church on Sunday morning? Is it? I'll be honest with you. I try to be the most honest guy in the world. Is it convenient to be here this morning? Or would you rather be sleeping in? Is it convenient to be here this morning? Or would you rather be home sleeping? I'd rather be home sleeping. I had to get up at 6:30 this morning to get here to be with you all. And it's a blessing to do it. But let me tell you, my body, my flesh, it don't like it. It wants to be home sleeping. But the decision that Peter made was, yes, Jesus, you can get on the boat. I'll push it out. And that's the decision that you and I need to make. Whenever the Lord comes and asks us to do a little something for him, to be inconvenienced, if you can, okay, I'll do it. Because I'll tell you what happens. That begins to build our faith. The faith isn't just, Peter, drop your nets and come with me. Okay, I'm going. That's ridiculous. That's not life. That's not what happened. That happened in those verses because Mark was making everything a short little concision to the story. But the truth is that what's going on in Peter's life is a step-by-step process of following Jesus. Hearing about him, seeing something happen, getting asked to do something that's a little bit inconvenient, and saying, okay, I'll do it. I guarantee you, knowing Peter, when we read our Bible, he wasn't all that happy with that. He later on, he has a few things to say, but he gets inconvenienced about other things. So here, he may have just done it out of deference to Jesus. And that's what we ought to do. Then, Jesus was teaching. And of course, Peter being in the boat with him had no choice but to listen. Verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, sermon was done. He could have just said, Peter, thanks a lot, buddy. Thanks for using your boat. Go on, go to sleep, go home, take a nap. Jesus says to him, no, says to Simon, who's Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a drought. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, notice he calls him Master. That's a term of him knowing he's a master. In your Bible, it should be in capital M. We have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now, I'll stop there real quick to explain this fishing thing. Because it's not fishing like you or I know, where you cast the rod and pull it. It's not fishing like that. Back in these days, in order to fish, they fished on a lake with a net. And they basically dragged the net and caught fish that were in the water. Now, the reason they fished at night. And the reason they fished at night was this, is that during the day, the sun heats up the water, the top of the water gets hot, and where do the fish want to go? Down. And so if they go fishing out during the day, those nets aren't long enough to hit the bottom for the most part, unless you're fishing near the shore, which then the nets will hit the bottom. But Jesus had told them to go out into the deep. Into the deep. I mean, our Bible's wonderful. Every word in there is specific, and it's there for a reason, to give us a picture, to show us something about our own lives. Go out to the deep, Peter. Drop your nets, and you're going to catch fish. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Peter said, we've been fishing all night. We haven't caught a thing. And now you want me to fish, Lord, during the day when it's hot. The water on the top is hot, so the fish aren't there. The fish have sunk down to the bottom. You want me to go out to the deep, drop my nets to a place where I'm not going to catch any fish. I've done that all night. I've done that all night. Not only that, Lord, but you're a carpenter. Or not that master, he didn't know he was Lord. You're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? I'm the expert fisherman here, and I know how to fish. I've known how to fish since I was a little boy. My family knows how to fish. The men around me know how to fish. We didn't catch anything all night. And you're telling me to fish in a totally different way, in a totally different place, and we're going to catch fish? You got to be thinking, Peter. He's thinking, I don't think so. For those of you who have a trade, experts at something, could you imagine having a rough day at work and having some guy show up who knows nothing about what you do and telling you that after you've done it all day and you're wore out and you're ready to go home and crash and forget about the terrible fishing night you've had, I want you to do it this other way. That makes no sense. Come on, men. How many of you would listen to that? You tell that guy to shove off, that he's crazy, that he's nuts. Not only that, our pride would say, hey, all these guys around me are professional fishermen too. That's what they do for a living. And now I'm going to, on the word of this guy, Jesus, I'm going to go do it a different way. How embarrassing. They're all going to think I'm nuts. Simon could have said no. And let me tell you, that's where a lot of us begin to have trouble in our following Jesus. Right here. The first three parts we do okay at. We hear about Jesus. We have a friend who maybe got saved, a family member, and we see something happening. We start saying, there's something going on there. And maybe even we'll show up to church on a Sunday morning every now and then. We'll get a little bit inconvenienced in our lives. And that's okay. But when something like this happens, when the Lord says, okay, now, take a chance. Take a chance, Simon. Take a chance and go fishing. At night, in the deep, because I'm going to have you catch something. And all these people around you that are your buddies, they're all going to laugh at you because they're going to think you're nuts. We stop. Many of us stop as Christians. What do you mean, tithe? I'm not giving money to the church. They're just looking for my money. What do you mean give it to a missionary? I mean, I worked hard for that money. You tell your buddy, go back to work and tell your buddies that aren't saved, that aren't Christians, that you gave money, your hard-earned money, instead of going out to drink beer and have fun, you gave it to some man to go to another country. And see if they don't think you're nuts. That's exactly what happens to us. And that's just one part. All around us, there's people that when we decide to follow Jesus and do what he tells us to do, they begin to think, that's not the way the world does it. You're crazy. What do you mean giving more money is going to make you more money? Because really, that's part of the tithing principle. Am I touching your hearts right now? Don't stop at this point. Simon could have said, I'm sorry if I'm confusing. Peter and Simon is the same guy. Jesus just changed his name. That's all. And so I think of him as Peter. That's how I think of him. He could have said no, just like we could say no, just like we do say no sometimes. But something in Simon, Peter, caused him to take the next step. But here's the interesting part about the next step. Here's our King James Bible is so good. Watch this. I don't know if you've ever noticed this. In verse 4, the Lord says to Peter, let down your nets. What does Peter do in verse 5? But read that. Peter lets down the net. A net. The Lord tells him to let down the nets, knowing that the harvest is going to be great. Peter, like us, like me, hedging his bets, says, you know what? I'll kind of obey, Lord, but it's too much trouble for me to let down all my nets. So, kind of obeying you for me to look good, I'll let down a net. Because I know this isn't going to work. This isn't going to work out, so why should I go through all the trouble of letting down all my nets, having to clean them up all later? I'll let down one net. It'll look good to the brethren. It'll look good to everybody. It'll make me feel good because I kind of obeyed. And then when it doesn't work out, I'll only have one net to clean up. Isn't that exactly what we do? We obey, but we don't obey completely. Now, you would think that in those two verses, there's an error in there. And it should have said nets. But I'm here to tell you, there's no error in here. The Lord put that in there exactly for us as we read that Bible to say, hey, Peter's just like you. The Lord didn't complain and say, well, Peter, you should have obeyed. No, no. He said, okay, he lived with that. He let down one net. And my, oh my, to his surprise, what is it that happened? And when they had done this, what's this? Drop the net. They enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and it says here, and their net, not nets, their net, not a mistake, their net, break. Peter's thinking, it's just more work. Brother Amato spoke about it this morning. What's the Lord trying to do to Peter? Bless him. He's trying to encourage him. He knows he had a hard night. He knows he didn't catch anything fishing. He knows he's tired. But Peter submitted in all those steps of following him, took a chance, pushed the boat out, dropped a net rather than the nets. But even that the Lord wasn't bothered with, because it's better to at least obey him a little bit than not obey him at all. And the Lord fills him up, that net, so much that the net broke, blesses him. Wow. You know, Christian, that's what the Lord's trying to do in our lives. Each and every one of us. The Lord is trying to bless. Sometimes we won't even let the net down. Nah, too much trouble. I'm not letting any net down. Sometimes too much of an inconvenience. I'm not going. I'm not going to do this. I'm not. You know, for many years, I was a jail chaplain for over 10 years. I went faithfully every Tuesday night to do a jail service for 2 hours at our county jail. It was a church service in the jailhouse. And I would go, and there were times when I really didn't want to go. And there were times when I'd call in and say, hey, somebody else handle this. I'm not going. Just can't do it. I'm too tired after work, whatever. I can't go. You know what I found most of the time, all the time? That whenever I went in one of those nights that I was tired and didn't want to go, and I thought that I was going to be a blessing to those men, you know what I found out?
I got the blessing.
The Lord loaded up my net with blessings, and it was, what did I miss by not going? I would have missed that blessing. And I'm wondering here this morning, Christian, if you haven't taken some of these steps, and right now the Lord's speaking to your heart about something in your life, you're following Him, and He's asking you to let the nets down, to do something that's a little different than you normally would do, to do a little something that's different than others around you would normally do. Just do something, because He's told you to do it, and you're hesitating because you're saying, oh my gosh, I'm tired, it's too much work, this isn't going to work, I'm just not going to do it. And I wonder if the Lord isn't just waiting to bless you, to fill up that net. Would you just take that chance and take that step and let at least a net down and let the Lord bless you? I'm just asking you this morning, this is a step in following Jesus. It wasn't just show up and, okay, Lord, I'm following you. Step by step. And each one of us in this building are someplace along this path in following the Lord. Someplace along this path. So just take the next step as Peter did. And finally, he called it, just to go through this, he called his buddies out and they all came out and they filled their boats up as well. So the blessing for Peter was not just for him, it was for the people around him. Because Peter was submissive to the obedience of what Christ had told him to do, others got blessed. And in verse 8, here's what Simon Peter says. When he saw it, all the fish filling up all the boats, that's what he saw. He was like overtaken, because in his mind he figured nothing's going to work out. And here it did. He fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinner, man, O Lord. Do you know that's what it's going to take in your life if you've never trusted Christ as your Savior this morning? It's going to take you to get to that place where you realize that you're a sinner. That you're a sinner, not somebody else. That you're a sinner. To be so overwhelmed by the goodness and the graciousness of the Lord, just like He showed Peter here, that you doubted Him. You doubted that He could do anything in your life. You didn't think it could happen, but yet you took that little step of faith that the Lord gives you. And in doing that, He blesses you. And you say, oh, what did I do? I'm so sorry, Lord. The verses before, if you notice, Simon called Him Master. Here he calls Him Lord. Have you gotten to that place in your life where Jesus is not just more than some guy, but He's Lord to you? That you need Him? That you drop to your knees and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, I need You? If not, it needs to be right away. They say in the end, He's coming back soon. Could be today. No time after that. Wouldn't it be a shame in a room full of people here that profess to be Christians? The rapture happened right now. We go up. I guarantee you, every church I preach at, there'd be a bunch of people still sitting in that room that think they should be going up, but they've never done this little thing, and that's just repent and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. You could do that this morning. Why wait? Don't be like Peter and his buddies who at first said, this ain't going to work. It is. It's in here. People around you can attest, Jesus is real. Jesus can live in your heart. He can forgive you of your sins. There's plenty of evidence. Don't take it on blind faith. Look around you. There's evidence. Evidence everywhere that'll help your faith go to the next level. I'll finish with this thought here. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the drought of the fishes that were taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, the other two guys, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. The story ends the same way as the other story, the same story ended in the other book. But here's Jesus' promise to him. I will make you fishers of men. You see, Jesus had a purpose for Simon's life. Jesus could see into the future and see what God would do with his life if Simon just allowed him to do it. If Simon just took those steps of faith, not blind faith, but steps of faith to follow him. You know, over in Italy, there's a huge basilica in Peter's name. The Catholics have a huge basilica in Peter's name. They may be confused about some things, but let me tell you what. You think that little fisherman there in the Sea of Galilee would have ever thought that somewhere in another country there would have been a huge, beautiful building in his name where his body's entombed? You think Peter could see that far and see all that, what God was going to do with him in the future? Do you think he could see that at that moment? I doubt it. No thought, no imagination of what God could do for him or with him. I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, if you think Peter's special, he's just a man. You and I are just as special to God as Peter is. And the same desires that God had to use Peter with his life to bring him glory, and also Peter got some glory too, by the way, the Lord wants to do with each one of us. No doubt about it. The Lord has a purpose for each life in this room. Each person. Not because you're called to preach, you're not called to preach, you're called to sing. God can use us in all kinds of different ways for His glory, and it's in His power to do so, but we have to be willing, with a little bit of faith, to take a step, be inconvenienced, take another step, be asked to do something else that sounds crazy, take that step, and then say, oh my Lord, and begin to be used by God. Are you willing this morning? Are you even willing? You're somewhere along this path of following Him. Continue that path. And by the way, what I've started to learn in my Christian life is this path is a continuous thing. Because there'll be over different issues. Maybe you'll submit to one issue, let the net down for something, and then you think, I got there. And the Lord says, well, what about this other one? And then you begin the same path over and over again. So it's a continuous path. Christian, where are you on that path this morning? What do you need to do to get to the next step? I know God's speaking in hearts. He's speaking in my heart about things in my life. Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to take the next step to either be inconvenienced or to just take that leap of faith and say, I'm going to do something that sounds so, you know, brother, going in the ministry full time, that's crazy. To this world, that's crazy. You don't have some high-powered corporate job. That's what the world tells you you need to do. That's a leap of faith that the world and his family, most families, would say, hey, that's crazy. But bless God when you do it. I'm not saying just do it because you want to do it, mind you. If the Lord doesn't tell you to, don't do it. But if the Lord tells you know what? And if the Lord tells you, hey, I want you to be a farmer for your whole life, that's what you should do. If the Lord says, hey, I want you to work in a factory your whole life, that's what you should do. Those are leaps of faith because we're listening to obey Him to do what He wants us to do so He can use us, so He can get glory, as Brother Amato said. The purpose is for Him to get glory from our lives and to use that glory to be a blessing to other people. Are you willing to follow Him? Are you willing to take that next step? I hope you are. God needs you. God needs you. You hear what I said? God needs you. He needs people to do His work. But you need Him more than He needs you. And if you refuse, He'll go on to the next person. Are you willing to help this morning, preacher?